Hey, Anna, did you know that Galileo made his own telescope, aimed it at Saturn, and saw something very strange?
What did he see?
So this is like 1610. He puts in his notes, Saturn looks strange today in the telescope. It had ears.
Oh, like on the side. I was thinking like, okay, on the sides.
Yeah.
Okay.
He couldn't see the rings.
Yeah.
But he tried to strain and he like squinted as much as he could. And he's like.
And that's what he came up with.
That was his best idea. It had ears. Isn't that kind of cute?
It is a kind of adorable. And I don't want to talk bad about your man, Galileo.
Oh, yeah. Don't do that.
I'm not.
Don't say anything bad about
Galileo.
It's
a completely reasonable
And it was all because he didn't have a good enough telescope. I mean, he made it himself, basically.
Jeez.
And you've seen Saturn, our telescope, the observatory, right?
Isn't
it incredible?
Did it
look like ears?
No, it looked like a picture of Saturn taped to the end of a telescope.
I know, it's that good, isn't it?
It is that good.
And so hopefully people can get some telescopes this holiday season and see Saturn themselves.
Absolutely.
From the studios of Cincinnati Public Radio, this is Looking Up. I'm Dean Regas, co-host of Stargazers on PBS.
And I'm Anna Heeman, and we're both from the Cincinnati Observatory. In this episode, we're talking holiday gift giving for the young astronomer with Sky and Telescope magazine's equipment editor, Sean Walker.
So this is Anna's favorite time of year.
I love it.
It's getting colder. It's the holiday season.
Absolutely.
What else? What else is it that gets you?
I like that you say that it's mine. Like everyone isn't excited about Christmas.
Well, I don't
holidays.
Like the cold part, and it's cloudy.
Gorgeous. What is wrong?
Well, December is the cloudiest month in Cincinnati, so I can't see any stars. But that's just me. That's my problem.
I'm about to make Buzzkill Regas an official nickname.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm so close.
It's true. But get us back to the holiday season and the spirit
Gift
of that.
Gift giving.
Yes.
It feels, you know, it's just a fun time of year. I'm sorry it's cloudy, but I think it's a nice time of year. And I love it at the observatory because, A, the observatory looks beautiful in holiday decor.
Yep.
Anytime, but in holiday decor. And we get a lot of people that want to come through talking about telescopes and wanting to buy scopes. And we have a great gift shop. So I think that, you know, it's just a fun time of year.
Yeah, and that is the most frequent question we get at this time of year is about telescopes and say, okay, well, I want to buy a new telescope and what should I get? And so we thought we'd give you kind of some of the basics on this, the different types, like the main two types of telescopes are the refractors and the reflectors.
Mm-hmm.
And the refractors are the ones that have lenses on the top. So it's like the style you would picture, you know, that you look at the bottom. It's like what Galileo used. And then the reflectors are the ones that have mirrors. So you use a series of mirrors to collect light and see stuff from the side of the telescope.
Mm-hmm.
And so either one is good. There's like good and bad parts of each one. But the key thing is you want to get something that you can carry. Portability is important.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Price
Some
range.
Of them are big.
I know. I mean,
it's crazy.
So you could get small ones you can carry with one hand, or you can get these large ones that you need a flatbed pickup truck called Obsession Telescopes.
And Obsession?
Yes, because you have to be obsessed to afford them.
To buy a new car.
Yeah, yeah.
For your telescope.
So anywhere in between, but usually you do have to spend a couple $100 to get a really good one. So you kind of have to think, what's your price range, and then shop around because there's lots of really good ones out there and lots of really bad ones out there.
Interesting. So, but like if you're a beginner, so you're saying there's good and bad about reflectors and refractors, but if you're like, you know, you're starting out, is there a model that you recommend or a kind or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I think my basic ones for the beginners are the Dobsonians. They're the reflector telescopes. You get
Is that named for someone named Dobson?
It is. It's so, I mean, we think of like these Galileo style scopes and Newton scopes and there's a Dobsonian. And I always thought, who's this Dobson guy? Like, was he like a, you know, is he a friend of Newton or something like that? And he was a guy that was, he just passed away recently. And he took this telescope, these reflector telescopes, and mounted it on his own mount of his own design. It was like a Lazy Susan. It could go left and right and up and down. That's all it did. And that's actually, it's so basic and so easy to use that became like kind of the standard. So that's the ones I recommend is a reflector and a Dobsonian mount. That's what it is. And those ones are really cool.
So what was your, so obviously let's talk, we have to ask, what was your first telescope?
Oh man, my first telescope was a piece of work. I mean, it was, it
a
was.
A piece of work.
A piece okay. of work, yes.
I'm sure where you're going with that.
It was not good. It was in the basement of the museum where I worked.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this 4.5-inch reflector on a mount that was a wooden tripod and rusted and all this stuff.
Ooh.
And my boss said, yeah, I don't think it works. So I took it home and got it in working order. I muscled it over to look at the moon, and I could see the moon's craters. And then the really good one moved it onto Saturn.
Oh.
And there it was, ears, rings, whatever you want to call it.
Saturn's ears look gorgeous. Awesome.
And there's just something about, like, finding it yourself. I don't know what it is. It was like you'd seen pictures, or maybe if somebody found it for you, but
right.
that I, like, kind of rehabbed this telescope and found Saturn with it and could see it myself. It was really pretty cool.
That does sound cool. Well, if people say a telescope is like broken, what is it? I mean, like you had to refurb it, like you just like needed to fix parts or something?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the mounting was all messed up. It needed screws. It needed to be. And that's the other thing is you want to get a telescope that has a really good, stable mount
because mm-hmm.
That can make it so frustrating. So definitely got to watch out for those cheap telescopes because you get a cheap telescope and you take kids outside and look through there and they get frustrated and you get frustrated and you
and
know
then you
what?
Just break it on the ground.
Exactly, yeah. And then you smash
it over your knee.
You're
like, forget this.
I always thought that would be a fun gag to do. You know, you take the cheapest telescope and be like, oh, I like this one. Then you just snap it right over your knee.
Like in front of a group.
Yeah.
Like just lose it.
Yeah, just totally lose it.
They'll be like,
I have no faith in this telescope. And then, yeah. Or smash like a guitar at the end of a concert or something.
You're
like
right.
That.
Smashing a guitar and smashing a telescope, the same thing.
Yeah, I guess it'd be frowned upon.
Man.
So what are some other spacey gifts that it might be on your wish list?
You know what I really want, and people keep sending it to me, but no one's sending me the actual item, are the Constellation Toms.
The what?
Constellation. Okay, first, Toms are a kind
the
of
shoes,
shoe.
I know.
We start from the beginning.
Right.
But they have a Constellation, like, line, and they light up in the dark.
Really?
I'm literally speaking so close to my microphone. I'm so excited. They light up. It is the coolest thing.
Wow.
And I really want a pair because I obviously need any – ever since I started working at the observatory, though, people send me links to all kinds of cool – I mean, astronomy and science and space and stars. It's a lot of, you know, commercial – there's a lot of items you can buy.
Hmm.
It's very popular right now.
Hopefully I'll get you in Secret Santa. Now I know what to do. Let me write this down.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, really. That would be great.
They're called Johns, Tams. Toms. Okay, Tom. All right, got it.
I'm just shaking my head.
You know which one I just got for a gift was the Moon Phase Cups.
Ooh.
It's these cups that are shaped that in such a way that when you pour milk in them, they're mm-hmm. black cups, but when you pour milk in it, it looks like the moon.
Yeah.
And as you sip it the water, the level gets lower and it changes the phase of the moon. So you start as a full moon and it's a half moon, and it's a crescent moon by the time it's at the bottom.
It's...
Yeah. It's that good. I can see you want one of those, too.
I guess if I get you in Secret Santa, I'm out of luck because you already have
the perfect
gift for yourself.
I already have everything I want in the moon cups.
Oh, man.
So we briefly touched on the best telescopes for the money in an earlier episode of Looking Up. But, you know, we got the holiday shopping season coming at its peak, and we wanted to really give you a good idea about the best telescopes, binoculars, and other astronomy accessories. So we contacted the expert. We've got Sean Walker, the equipment editor for Sky and Telescope magazine, and he's a self-proclaimed gearhead. Well, Sean, thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, so whenever we want to know what's new and exciting with telescopes, this is where we go. So what's kind of the in telescopes right now and binoculars that people can get for around the holiday season?
Okay, well, it really depends. I mean, are you looking to buy for a newbie, somebody just, got an interest in astronomy, or have they been really into it for a long time?
Man, so. You know what you're talking about. These are the exact questions we always say. Okay, let's see. My budget is $400, and I'm a beginner.
Okay, a beginner. Here's another question.
Ooh.
I mean, do you think, you know, you're really into astronomy, or is it something that, hey, maybe that's something kind of cool I'd like to do? Because there's different telescopes for different kinds of observing, all right? You've heard for a long time that there's reflectors and refractors and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also different kinds of observing. Some people are really into observing, like, the planets, the moon, and the sun. Well, the sun takes a special filter, but the moon and the planets generally need a large aperture and a long focal length to observe those. Whereas if you're into, like, faint fuzzy galaxies and nebula and star clusters, you still want a large aperture, but you don't need a long focal length, okay? So these are things that you want to decide ahead of time, or find out if the person you're potentially buying a telescope is interested in. And the other thing you want to consider, too, is if, as I mentioned earlier, is this kind of a passing interest, or do you have other interests? Because a refractor is probably one of the most versatile instruments that you can buy, because unlike a Newtonian telescope, which inverts the image in the eyepiece, you can use a refractor with what's called a 45-degree angle prism, and it'll give you a right reading view, so you can look at birds or, say, boats in the harbor or something very distant, not your neighbor's house.
Right, so earthly objects, but not, or heavenly objects.
Right.
That was diplomatically stated.
That
wasn't
was.
It? Anyway, but let's say you have an 11-year-old kid that is really into astronomy. You think he's in a space phase. What would you think would be a good starter scope for an 11-year-old or an adult with the mentality of an 11-year-old like myself?
Okay,
I'm glad you said that.
I suggest starting easy. All right, a small refractor in the range of like 80 to 100 millimeters would be great, or a small reflector on perhaps a Dobsonian mount, which is a simple alt-az mount that looks like a gun turret, really.
Mm-hmm.
They're easy to move around. You don't have to deal with aligning it with the poles, which we can get into later. And it's really quick and easy to set up, and it'll get you started quickly. Now, for about $400, you can actually get quite a few different good instruments these days. Like Meade has a great Infinity line of refractors that's about 90 millimeters to 102 millimeters, and those are only on a little alt-az mount for 219 to 249. That leaves you a lot of money left over to say get additional accessories, which you're going to need.
Really? You'll need a lot of accessories.
Well, I like accessories. Let's talk about that.
Okay. Well, what you're going to need besides the telescope is some way to find out where to point it, because if at this price range, you're not picking up a go-to telescope. You can, but let's try and keep it simple again. You can pick up a star map or even an app for your phone, a planetarium app that'll show you where to point your scope real easy, and they only cost a few bucks.
So you don't need, a computerized telescope necessarily to start with.
You don't need one. They're fun to have, but again, my philosophy is to keep it simple. Unless the person shows some real dedication to it, you don't want to overburden them with electronics. There are a few telescopes that don't require any knowledge. You can just put them down and they will align themselves, but they get a little costly. If money wasn't an object, I suggest a Meade light switch myself, because you can plop it down and in a few minutes it'll align itself and you'll be able to find tons of stuff.
And you just type in any object and say, I want to look at Jupiter, and it'll just pan right to it?
Assuming Jupiter's up, yes.
All right.
It should. But again, those are great, but they don't really teach you your way around the sky, and if your electronics fail, you're dead in the water. So I think it's a good idea to get some manual way of pushing the scope around to learn, that M31, big galaxy in the northern sky, is only a little skip from that bright star over there.
So to your point too about sort of different levels of you know, knowledge or interest, in, you know, in telescopes, you know, a lot of, we see at the Cincinnati Observatory, a lot of people that want to get into like astrophotography or like cameras, you know, is there like, I mean, do you get like an actual camera? Do you get a mount? How do you, what do you recommend for someone looking to get into that?
Well, I would suggest if somebody's interested in getting into astrophotography, they, again, start kind of small.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, you can start astrophotography without a telescope at all. All you need is a camera that can focus on infinity and do exposures of several seconds, say 30 seconds long. You plop a camera on a tripod, focus at it on a star, and point it towards, say, the south where the Milky Way is most visible, and do a 30-second exposure, and you'll see a lot more than you can see with just your naked eye.
That's awesome.
That's a great way to just get getting started in astrophotography. Beyond that, yeah, you're going to start to need to invest in a tracking mount or, you know, a higher, larger optics like a small telescope just so that you can take these pictures. And, of course, you'd want, you know, perhaps a better camera.
Well, so what was your first telescope? I'm always curious to ask that to folks that are in the business, you know, how they got started.
In the business?
Well, that's what we call it.
Man.
My first telescope was a little 4.5-inch Meade reflector that my parents had got me at the start of the 1990s when I was just getting out of high school, going into college. But my mom planted the seeds of astronomy interest for me when I was a young child in the 70s. She actually owned a decent-sized Newtonian reflector and would take me and my three other brothers out into the out to Sudbury where it was pretty dark, and she'd show us around the sky. But the thing that really, you know, really stuck in my memory was seeing Saturn's rings for the first time. Of course, it probably does that for everybody, but you never forget that view.
Oh, definitely. And I think that's the power of the telescope. It can really, you know, for kids, for adults, seeing those first views, even if it's like a very cheap telescope, it's still, there's something about it. And especially, I don't know, did you get to like find stuff yourself too and everything?
Well, yeah, when they got me that little Meade scope, I had to learn how to point it. And it took me a long time to find anything besides the moon. When I first found something, it happened to be M42, the Orion Nebula. When I found that, I was ecstatic. I was like, all right, this is for me. And, of course, after that, it kind of became a race of upgrading equipment. I had to convince my parents that, no, the scope they bought me wasn't bad. It actually was like the gateway drug to larger telescopes.
Ah, yes, because then you have to buy a bigger one after that.
Exactly.
Well, to that point, you know, if people are buying their first, maybe their first scope, or they're just getting into the hobby of astronomy, and what can they kind of expect to be able to see through maybe, you know, your kind of an average starter scope, maybe? Like how far can they see it? What kind of detail? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, you can see pretty far even without a telescope. M31 that I mentioned was 2.5 million light years away, and you can see that with the naked eye. But with even a small telescope, you're already doubling how far away you can see. You can see many more galaxies than just that one.
Mm-hmm.
So the key to seeing more objects is a larger aperture, or not exactly just a larger telescope, but a larger light gathering ability of the telescope. Okay.
Yeah. So
yeah,
usually
sense.
Bigger the better, but not necessarily the more expensive the better, right?
Right. Exactly. I mean, there's some great scopes that are, well, pretty pricey. But it all depends on what your goals are, really. I shoot with a variety of instruments. One of my favorite things is to shoot deep sky images of. I'm actually in the process of a survey program, and we're trying to map the entire sky in hydrogen alpha light. It's a lot of fun just shooting deep exposures of using just a. This might sound modest, but a 5-inch refractor, And we're able to resolve very tiny details with just that small instrument.
Well, Sean, this has been great. Thanks for taking the time to talk with us. It's always good to hear the gear expert for astronomy.
Okay. Well, thanks for your thanks for calling me.
No problem. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
Take care.
We've been talking with Sean Walker from Sky and Telescope magazine. Sean, thanks so much for joining us.
All right, well, in this episode, we have a very special feature. Dean, your birthday is coming up.
That's right, December 18th.
Exactly. And what better way to celebrate your birthday than welcoming your parents,
oh my gosh,
Mr. and Mrs. Regas, on this episode of Looking Up. Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Hello, Anna.
Hello.
This is Dan.
Well, thank you guys for agreeing to do this.
Yes, I just want to say that we appreciate your participation in this blog, because I, too, am a land person, and you must be reading my mind because your questions are always right on for us.
Oh, that is so nice. You know,
that's the way to butter her up, Mom.
That's right. I love compliments.
It's perfect. Good way to put the interviewer on in a good footing.
Dean, your mom and I are talking now.
Okay,
Come on. You're, and of course your dad, of course. So I just wanted to kind of ask a couple questions, you know, of you guys. Obviously you have a wildly successful son here in Dean, co-host of Stargazers, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, what did you guys think when he told you that he was going to be an astronomer?
Well, it was a surprise. Because, you know, he had gotten his degree in education, and I thought, oh, he's going to be a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, hey, I'm going to be an astronomer. I said, wow. Of course, I was thrilled. Being an engineer, I was thrilled.
Really?
Wow. See,
I thought you were thinking, oh, what's this phase he's going in now? Boy.
He's crazy kids.
Well, that's possible.
Oh, okay.
But, Anna, let me tell you of his early years, you know, when he was in elementary school. We got word that Dean was selling Jolly Ranchers to his classmates at recess time.
What does this have to do with anything?
Oh my gosh, this is great.
They had put an end to that. And then later, he would purchase Jolly Pirate Donuts and go house to house on Saturday morning, selling them to our neighbors at a profit. So
oh
we expected
gosh.
Other things.
We expected him to be an entrepreneur.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Wow,
see,
really?
I was very, very charismatic salesperson back in the day when
yes,
I was 8 years
true.
Old.
True.
And then you thought I was going to be a lawyer too for a
oh
while.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
That would have been good too. Answering all the questions and the things we got, but Dean really later on in life went to another alternative school, which was math, science, and environmental studies.
Oh.
And I think that's probably where he got a little bit interested in other things than business.
Yeah. He, as a matter of fact, at that age, he was probably 10 or so. He decided he was interested in the environment. And he put out a weekly newsletter to the neighborhood.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did. Environmental issues, and he got us all interested in recycling. So he was when he makes up his mind about something, he just follows through like crazy.
That is for sure.
I'm still trying to get him to recycle at the observatory, guys. I mean,
we recycle all the time, you guys. There, he's just like we recycle. Sometimes they're
evidently not enough to satisfy Dean.
It's true. Nothing's good enough for him. What is the
deal? I have high expectations. I have to sell a lot of Jolly Ranchers to get where I am today.
That is hilarious.
So we just could not possibly have, we had to have cloth napkins and plates, not paper plates and paper napkins, et cetera. You know, it got to that point. So,
wow.
But anyhow, Dean was very focused. He likes a challenge. He always challenged himself. He did well in school, although he said he didn't like school. But I don't.
You didn't like school?
All right, I don't like the way these questions are going here. What else we got here?
They're offering so much great information. I love it.
Wow, it's very insightful.
The subject. To show how focused he was, at that when that age, about 10, 12, he got into skateboarding.
Oh, my
gosh. Of course, he would see kids on radio, or I'm sorry, on TV, skateboarding these half pipes. Well, he decided, hey, I'm going to build me a half pipe. So he asked permission, and Becky says, okay, you can build one, but when you're all done, you're going to tear it down. He said, okay. So he built this huge, huge half pipe, and he would skate up and down, and I think maybe that's where he got the stargazer thing, because he would, you know, go up to that thing and be up in the air pointing toward the sky, and I think he said, "Ah, there's stars up there."
Yeah, that could be it. I use my engineering background from my dad. That's where to build that ramp.
Wow, you built a half pipe. I'm learning so much, you guys. I want you to know I'm going to take this all back to the staff at the observatory and share all of this. And, of course, our listeners. This is going to be great.
This is a one-time deal, by the way, guys. This is it. This is the last time.
I was going to invite them to our Christmas party.
Oh. Oh, we can do that, too.
Oh, my God.
No more stories.
That's right. Oh, man. This has been so fun.
Another thing that might be fun for you to know about, that when Dean was a senior in high school, the Ohio Lottery and the WBNS-TV, they chose the best of our class, honoring Central Ohio students for their academic and extracurricular activities. And during this event, they videotaped everything, and they had brief interviews of all the kids. And most of the responses were like, well, you know, I plan to attend Ohio State University and study medicine, or I plan to be a teacher, et cetera, and so forth. But when it came time for Dean's to give his interview, he said, I am Constantine Rigas from St. Charles, and I plan to change the world.
Oh, yeah, so
I
young
think they
and
wanted
idealistic.
Something more specific, Dean.
Yeah. Well, I said he was focused.
That's right. You're right. You're so
I aimed high. And now everybody.
So maybe that really meant he didn't know what in the heck he wanted to do.
That's probably more likely.
You were covering it well, though. You're like, don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of things. Change the world.
And then out of the blue, astronomy came up, you know.
Yeah, really? Oh, my gosh.
Well, his brother did subscribe to Astronomy Magazine, so I'm sure Dean read him at the time. So maybe
was he a lawyer instead of you?
Maybe it's better than be a lawyer. Yeah.
But anyhow, we're very proud of Dean, and we're so excited that he's found something that he loves and that'll keep him busy.
And it's not a phase. It's not a phase.
It's not
right?
A phase. If it's a phase, yeah.
Well, I think he's found his niche. He really loves what he's doing, and he says, "I can't see doing anything else." So that says a lot. If you're happy with your work, you are very blessed.
That's true. Words of wisdom, and that is so true. And I literally can't thank you enough for being on the show today. This has been awesome and really revealing to the person that Dean is. You know, he plays it close to the vest. So this is, I've been working with him for 3 years and I had no idea about the half pipe. So this is huge. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. This is fun. Okay, we'll have him back.
We'll have him back for sure.
Okay, we'll have him back.
And Dean, keep looking up.
That's right. That's right.
Thank you so
much. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, that's it for this episode of Looking Up. Thanks to Sky and Telescope Magazine's Sean Walker for joining us. And a huge thanks to Dean's parents.
Definitely huge thanks.
Huge thanks. Made my day.
Oh, man. I'm going to talk to them later about this.
They did great. So get in touch with us. We're on Twitter at Looking Up Podcast, or drop us a note at lookingup@wvxu.org. We've also started a Facebook page at Looking Up WVXU is where you can find us on Facebook.
You can ask us a question, give us a topic suggestion, or ask your kids what they'd like to ask an astronomer or scientist. We'll try to answer them on future episodes.
And remember to subscribe to Looking Up on iTunes, and please take a moment to rate or comment on us there or on Stitcher. You can also find the show at wvxu.org/lookingup. Our theme song and additional music is by Y, that's WHY? From their album Moline, courtesy of Joyful Noise Recordings and Terror Bird Media.
Looking Up is a production of Cincinnati Public Radio. Kevin Reynolds is our producer, Rick Andrus is our engineer, and Jim Nolan provided additional technical support.
Thanks for listening. I'm Anna Heeman.
And I'm Dean Rigas. Keep looking up.